Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marty and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marty Swedberg.
Welcome, welcome. I'm excited to have you with us. We are going to be talking right now about reprogramming the mind for success with our guest today, LaVonne Earle. She has a best-selling new book out, and I'm excited to welcome her in just a moment. During this interview, you're going to discover what the Bible teaches about reprogramming our minds, how one begins to reprogram the mind, some of the most amazing transformations we've seen, some strategies for reprogramming your mind, the reason the mind hangs on to the negative and what you can do about it, and also some favorite scriptures to empower others, as well as what we need to know before starting to help others with their minds. Okay, our guest today is LaVonne Earle. She is the founder and director of YKI Coaching Associates. Her professional trainings include life coaching, counseling, neuro-linguistic programming, SOZO healing, and vision therapy. LaVonne specializes in Bible-based relationship and emotional wellness. You can learn more about her at ykicoaching.com. And I'm excited to bring LaVonne on right now. Welcome to you, LaVonne.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me today, Marnie.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to have you, and congratulations. Your new book, Coach for Christ, has become a bestseller already over at Amazon, and excited to congratulate you about that.
Thank you.
And super excited to pick your brain today about this topic that I know a lot of us wonder, you know, in the Bible, it talks about the renewing of the mind. And how to mesh a lot of some of the new teachings that are available to us because of the scientific research and things like that with what the Bible says, and how to put that all together in a God-honoring way. And that's what you love to do.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. How did you get started into all of this mind stuff?
Well, you know, God always takes where we are weak, and he makes us strong if we allow it. Yeah. And then he will give us a great purpose. And often our great purposes come out of our weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And for me, I was going through a very difficult season in my marriage 11 years ago. I was very depressed and suicidal. And I just was like, how can me as a Christian not get my mind right? What do I need to do to get my mind right? Mm-hmm. I really want this peace that we're talking about. And for so long I had it, but then when something rocks your world, what do you do? And so for me, I dove into tons of trainings. I just wanted to learn as much as I could to really discover how I would get my mind right. And that developed the Christ-Centered Coach Training Program. And I began helping so many other people renew their minds as well. And it just evolved to so many different programs and teachings, because just like God's word, he heals everyone. He is there for everyone. And so the Bible is complete. There is an answer for you.
I love that. I love that. And we want to come into this conversation Bible-based. And so what do you find that the Bible teaches about reprogramming the mind? And I know you can't cover every last thing, but some of the high points.
Absolutely. But, you know, the Bible does tell us that we are a new creation. And so the foundation of our healing on anything is true identity. And really, true identity is very simple. I always tell people that God is, it's black and white. There is truth and not. And so really, if you understand your synonyms, your antonyms, anything that you're feeling, any thought you're feeling, you focus on that which is good. So if you're feeling not good enough, we're going to focus on being good enough, because Christ said that he perfects us. And so we're going to walk on Bible-based truth and what God's promises are for us. And so that's why I offer a lot of workbooks, because oftentimes we're unaware of what we're actually feeling. So if we can dive deep and find the root of what we're feeling, we can get the word God has for us, and it will be that much more meaningful to us.
Yeah. I know a lot of people will say or have said to me, you know, that's just positive thinking or something like that. Right. But if we study what heaven is, which is the place where a good God resides in perfection. And we study what hell is the complete absence of good.
Yes.
Then when we choose to have our minds somewhere down in this range, we're going to be suffering. Whereas when we choose to have our minds set on things above, then we're going to experience the peace that God's experiencing.
100%. I always tell people, if people that are atheist, agnostic, they don't understand the Lord, truly they want the Lord. Because like you said, if you remove God, you remove everything that's good. You remove light, love, goodness. You remove it. So everybody really, truly does want God. They just don't understand it. So I always say in my evangelism approach, lead people to that which is good, and you will lead them to God, because everything that is good comes from God. So people really, truly do want God. They just don't understand it yet.
Yes, I love that. I love that. So how do we begin to reprogram our mind?
So we offer some solid methods in our ministry, the way that we work. What we have done, this whole Christ-centered coach program takes a lot of secular approaches. Things like anchoring, visualization, meditation, those tools, which a lot of people are practice them on a secular way. And I say that they are truths. They just have removed God from them. So when we operate in truth, just like gravity, it falls, it has a natural consequence. When we operate in truth, if you remove God, even if you remove God out of it, it's going to work for you, but it's God who designed it. So we practice godly anchoring. We use the sense of smell along with pressure points in your hand to really affirm who God is. God gave us our senses, and we certainly don't need them, but we want to use them to glorify God. So in other words, if you don't have hands and feet, or something happens to you in prison and in jail, you can use your mind for sure. That your mind is the most powerful. But we use the sense of smell additionally, and we use some anchoring techniques along with affirmation and then visualization, and additionally meditation, guided godly meditation, so that you can begin to see the hope and the vision that God has for you. So sometimes people are really in vulnerable situations. For example, those who have been traumatized, perhaps sexually abused, or are going through traumatic things in their life, oftentimes they don't have vision at the moment because they're in a very vulnerable situation. But when they come in and work with professional coaches like ourselves, who can come in and give you godly vision for your future and provide it in a very relaxed manner, and that way you can digest it, visualize it, really come to see yourself in that position, you can walk in it and it will come more naturally to you. It's all about where the mind goes, the body follows.
Yeah. Now I want to address this, the techniques that you're using, because once again, red flags go up for people like, well, this is just new age, or this is just something like that. And I want to just use the analogy that's coming to my mind right now is driving a car. So there were not cars in Jesus' day. So just because the invention of the car or the awareness of the ability to create and build cars didn't come until the early 1900s does not mean that it isn't a gift from God, that it isn't something we can use. It's here. It's available to us now. It wasn't then. And I really feel like the distinguishing difference, and I always go back to what Moses says when he's in talking to God, and he says, but if you don't go with us, I don't want to go, because you're the distinguishing difference. Right. And when you take getting in your car and driving somewhere and you do it on your own without thinking about God, that's one trip. When you get in your car and you praise God for the vehicle and you ask him to bless the ride and protect, that's a different trip. Mm-hmm. And so it's the same with these things. They aren't like, okay, there are some satanic things out there, but these things you're talking about are not them.
Yes. Well, I love that wonderful, beautiful analogy. Thank you for helping us understand that. And in my book, A Coach for Christ, in chapter 10, it has the I Am rule, which is godly anchoring. It's on page 165. And how we really help you decipher that and understand it is we use the words I am. And God is the great I am. And he goes before us. So when we are anchoring ourselves with oil and smell and priding, we are visualizing Jesus Christ, who was crucified for us, and he goes before us. He prays for us. He desires our success. He's there for us. We can pray, ask him for things, and with him. And so definitely it is definitely something that is focused on Jesus Christ, because we are nothing without God. You can certainly affirm yourself and say, I am confident, I am powerful, I am strong, but you are not those things without Christ. And you might reach a secular level of success because, as we've talked about, godly principles work. However, it will be limited because Christ is eternal. So if you want eternal success, Amen. Eternal blessings, then we need to recognize that all power, all glory, everything comes from Jesus Christ. So definitely honoring God with your practices. And I always, always emphasize that methods are nothing without the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that fills us and gives us the power and the direction and the discernment and the wisdom that we need. So we have a lot of principles. The Bible is complete, but unfortunately the Bible doesn't say, okay, today, LaVon, I want you to go and do this. I want you to speak to this person. That is the Holy Spirit's direction and guiding wisdom. And we just make sure that it aligns up biblically, our desires, our goals, and the things that we're achieving. If we line them up biblically, then we are aligning ourselves up with the Lord for the success he has already blessed us with.
Yeah. Two things are coming to my mind. One is back to, again, like you said, if you're in a pit or if you're in prison, you can worship God without even a Bible, with just your heart and your soul. You don't need any props or anything like that. But what a gift it is that we have the Word of God, exactly, that we can read and study. What a gift it is that we have some of these other tools that we can access. It's just a gift. And then the other thing that you mentioned was the difference between, you know, God being the distinguishing difference, again, back to that, is that if we do it in our own strength, for our own glory, whatever, then that's the result we get. It's right here, right now. So let's say 1 Corinthians 13, I go and I feed the poor, or I give my body to be burned. And whatever the benefit of that is, that's the benefit of it. Mm-hmm. But if I'm doing it through Christ, through God's love, then that has an eternal result as well as whatever the physical immediate result is.
Amen. Well said, Marnie. Yeah. I love that. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I really feel like it's missed a lot, that we just feel like we're supposed to get up and perform for God. That's not it at all. We're supposed to let him live through us, and then it has eternal value.
I 100% agree with that. And additionally, we have the abundant life that Christ has promised to us through his stripes. By our stripes, we are healed. Mm-hmm. And that is a gift to us. And additionally, we also have a cross, because God says to take up your cross. So your cross really, as a Christian, is your ministry. And so I really firmly believe that every Christian is a coach for Christ. I believe that it is the modern day word for disciple. God said to go and make disciples of all nations. And I really believe we just have a modern word called, when we call it coach in our ministry, and that we are coaches for Christ. And so where is your ministry? There is a ministry that you need to have as a Christian. And if we're not serving, if we're not giving back, then somehow we've missed the boat.
And everybody's ministry is different from everybody else's.
Absolutely. Yeah. 100%. Yes. You can be teaching art and working in ministry. That's why, you know, I'm not necessarily in a third world country or different things like that. Right. I'm working right now and working with people with their minds and getting their minds right and teaching and providing classes and things like that so that people can get stronger. And perhaps one of those leaders that rise up in our team will go out and do ministry work in a third world country. Right. So we all have a sphere of influence, but we need to be operating in our sphere for sure. Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've seen some pretty amazing transformations. Share a couple with us.
Oh, 100%. Well, I do see a lot of transformation with my clients that I work with. And so that would be those here in Southern California and in the nation, because I do work by phone. And so those are oftentimes things that people are going through, traumas of, you know, infidelity in their marriage, divorce, things that rattle their world. There is, of course, sexual abuse here and things like that. I also serve at the Orange County Rescue Mission, and I work with the women have been sexually abused and trafficked. And it's so beautiful to see their minds transformed and come into their true identity of Jesus Christ. And I have seen transformations happen very quickly sometimes. Our course for that, Born to Bloom, is 7 weeks. And I had one student in there that it was some pretty horrific things that had happened to her. Mm-hmm. And she was committed. She's like, okay, I'm going to do the 7 weeks and I will do it. And it was just so beautiful to see at the end of 7 weeks, her stand up and share all the godly narration, because we create it on paper as well. Like, we want to help fill the mind, but we need solid concrete things, because in this world, we forget things. So to have her write it down and to write all her godly narration, the things that she had been anchoring herself in Christ daily, twice a day. And she stood up and read, and she was like, I am just amazed how God healed me. So the testimony of that is testimony to God's word, how when we do apply it and we do use the methods that you know, they are godly methods that we provide, that they, when they use them, they do receive their healing. So that's one. I had another gentleman that was going through my course, Be Transformed. And he said he had so much anger. He was so resentful and he had all these problems in his mind. He just didn't know how to get it right. And nobody had showed him. That's why I teach these life skills over at the mission, because, you know, there aren't a lot of sometimes these techniques and things that people practice. They teach God's word and it's great, but we need sometimes some solid things that people can do. So helping him devise his godly anchoring, how he was a patient man, a godly leader, and, you know, watching him laminate that, because I bring laminating sheets in for them to take him, put him on their sink, do it twice a day, use the oils, really anchor this in their mind, and having him at the end of the class just say, I am amazed how my mind is transformed now. I don't feel the anger anymore. So we need godly habits. It is those godly habits that get us through our life and really transform our thinking. We need perspective changes.
I remember being in a conversation with a bunch of gals one time, and somebody was being a little hard on the Lutherans for being kind of, they say the Lord's Prayer, maybe don't feel it every time. And there was a Lutheran pastor who was sitting in the midst of us, and she said, can I just say something? She said, you know, every morning I get up and brush my teeth, and I don't always think about what the toothbrush is doing.
Yes.
Sometimes I just let it go over my teeth.
Yes.
And I just get the benefit of brushing them. And she says, yeah, sometimes I feel like that's how it is for me in the morning with the Lord's Prayer. Sometimes I pray it and I really think about it and I deeply personalize it. And other times I just say it because it's a good thing to do. And I think that we sometimes minimize the value of the consistent repetition of the truths of God. Yes. And how it can change our minds, change our lives.
Well, God says that faith comes by hearing. Right. And so it's great that you say brushing your teeth, because that's what I tell my students. I'm like, you brush your teeth twice a day, or at least I hope you do. And so that's why I have them laminated, is they put them on their bathroom sink. They put the oil that we do on their bathroom sink, and then they take those words and they do it twice a day, and anchoring themselves. So, yes. And, you know, a story about habits is that my husband and I have never missed prayer in 11 years after reconciling, ever. We don't miss brushing our teeth and we don't miss saying prayer together. I don't care if something's troubling. And so there was one occasion years back where we had an argument, and it was like, well, are you going to say prayer? And I'm like, well, yeah, I guess we're going to say prayer, but we did it. You know, we were not feeling it at the moment, but through prayer and through our habit of saying it every single day, we were able to transform that and get that feelings back and really be back in love. And so habits are extremely important. Habits make our lives.
Right. And sometimes you just have to do it without feeling it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And that's okay. I mean, we do a lot of stuff like that in life. We can do it for Jesus.
Yes, absolutely. Well, if we only operate on our feelings and we allow the flesh to lead us, then who's in control? And that's, you know, one of my classes that I'm going to be teaching coming up, which is on health and weight loss, because it's all about our self-control. And God has told us to have self-control. We don't always feel like dieting. Let's face it, it's not the most fun thing to do, but to take care of our bodies and to eat healthy, we have to do things that are not always based on our enjoyment.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. So what are some of the strategies for reprogramming the mind?
Well, you have the godly anchoring, the visualization, the meditation. We also operate on the 5 keys to success, and those are truth. So there's a truth in every given situation. Obviously, knowing the truth about Jesus Christ, but God wasn't just speaking about our spirituality. He was speaking about what is the truth about the way that you communicate? What is the truth about the way that you're managing your relationships, your finances, each and every area of your life? So A, number one is truth. Number two is to have a goal. We need to have a goal. We have to know where we're at, and then we have to know where we're going. That's so important. So our goal. And what is the purpose of the goal? That was what's going to drive it. If your goal is just to lose weight, that's not big enough for me anyways. It has to have a stronger purpose. It has to have a purpose of modeling good behavior, of, you know, feeling good, feeling healthy, being able to run with my grandchildren and be healthy and those things like that. That's a stronger purpose for me. And so then we have to have a plan and a strategy of how we're going to get there. We have the fourth key is action steps. And so our action steps are important. And who is holding us accountable? Who is involved in saying, are you doing this? Are you following through? Are you doing your godly anchoring? We need community. We were never designed to be alone. So we need community. And the fifth key I feel is very important as well is you are going to achieve success when you do these four keys. You will achieve success. But do you give back? Because it's giving back that will perpetuate your success. We were designed to receive and then to give back. And so in giving back is where you're going to fulfill your purpose and you're going to be able to fulfill your ministry, the call on your life. So who are you giving back to?
Wow. And it's so much fun to give back, isn't it? I mean, that's just one of the greatest joys.
I love it. Definitely.
Yeah. That's really cool. Well, you guys, if that went too fast, just go ahead and replay it. And catch it again. There are a lot of good stuff there.
The five keys. And, you know, if it did go too fast, in my book, A Coach for Christ, contains all of the information. A Coach for Christ is based on our Christ-centered coach training that we offer because we train and certify Christian coaches. And I always wanted this book personally for myself to have a resource that I could flip to the scriptures that I use often, to flip to the things, the meditations, the anchoring, some key phrases that to use in your life, in your mind. And so that's one of the reasons I really wanted to have this book for me. My daughter said, Mom, I know you wanted to have this book for your legacy because you wanted your family, your children, your grandchildren to operate on these methods for success. And I really believe in them.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. Yeah, that's really cool. So there is a reality that all of us face. So as a public figure, sometimes I will get feedback and often it's very good and glowing. And sometimes it is like totally miss the mark with that person. And why does my mind tend to, maybe I'll get 25 excellent reviews and one bad one. Why does my mind want to go hunker down in that bad one? What is the deal with that?
Well, you know, first of all, our mind is trying to protect us. That's the number one thing that God designed our mind to do, is to protect us. And so that's why when we have trauma, serious trauma, God has designed our mind to say, I don't want that trauma to happen to you again. Think about it, remember it. And so it was designed to operate that way. So we need to understand that it is there to protect us. It's also there to teach us. So if something happens that is negative in our life, we want to learn from it. So, right, God says that all of these things happen to further our faith. So how is it? There is always a little bit of truth in there. And that may be why it stings, because I have had negative things come back my way as well. We all have. And so I look, is there some truth in there? Is there a way that I can grow in there? And then I can tell my mind, okay, I learned the lesson. We can put that away now. I'm good. We processed that. Or, okay, I'm safe now. This has been dealt with and it's processed and I'm okay. So we're okay now. I am healed in Christ. I am, you know, wise in Christ, and begin anchoring yourself and moving forward, because we are all going to have some setbacks. It's the getting up and moving forward and walking in our promises that God has for us.
I love that. I think I've come a long way in just being able to understand and release and receive forgiveness for whatever I might have done wrong, as well as for the training, thankfulness for the training. But I know when I just was starting in public speaking, I would just, when I get the pile of reviews, I would just kneel down by the bed, lay them on the bed and just start going through them. Because, you know, I mean, you don't want either way. You don't want to feel proud and you don't want to be completely wiped out. you know,
there's balance in all things.
There is.
Right.
Great. So that's beautiful. And I do feel like my mother-in-law taught me this when I was younger, married too, is that whenever someone does say something harsh to us, she said she would just pray and say, where is the little nugget in here of something that I can yield to you today? I want to be more like Jesus. And I just loved her sweet response.
Our whole ministry is really based on one scripture, which is Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Mm-hmm. Search me, Lord, and know my heart. Test my anxious ways. And so we use that for everything. So mm-hmm. in other words, if someone has gotten given a bad review to you or anything, you can say, search me, Lord, know my heart. Is there anything there? Is there anything that I need to refine and improve on? And if there's not, and God gives you the peace about it, that maybe that person mm-hmm. was just operating on an off day or whatever, then we can give grace and say, okay, Lord, search my heart. Is there any unforgiveness in me? Can I forgive this person and offer grace? Sure. And so God is our great refiner, and he will continue to just refine us and help us to improve and become more Christ-like all the time.
Absolutely. So what is a favorite scripture when you're trying to encourage someone?
Oh, you know, there are so many. It's always hard to choose this one, right? But I love God has not given us a spirit of mm-hmm. fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. So because our whole ministry operates on the sound mind, if you have a sound mind, that is when you're going to excel, right? You're going to have that peace of God because your mind is sound and you're going to be able to accomplish everything. So really not operating on any fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind.
Yeah. I love how that verse includes fear or love and fear together. And in First John, it says there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear.
Amen. So
just that knowing, that deep knowing that when I am in Christ, I am okay. Uh-huh. And that the fear comes naturally to all of us, but
well, that's how we grow, you know, perfection and all those things, mm-hmm. they paralyze us. And that's why God wants us to know, like, there is no fear, like, you're loved, you're safe no matter what. It's okay. I have grace for you. You just keep growing, because when there's grace, you can excel. But when there's this perfection and this bar placed on you, you can't grow. But he says, don't worry. I want you to grow. You're going to be okay.
I always say I can live without a lot of things, but I can't live without grace.
Yeah.
I've got to have grace. Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah, so there was actually something that you wanted to share with us to be a little careful before we go forward helping others renew their minds. So what was it that you wanted to talk about here?
Were we talking about the site, the classes? I'm sorry, Mom.
No, it was one of the talk points that you had given us, what we need to know before we start helping others.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's
what
okay.
You know about helping other people. Yeah. And so absolutely. Well, we want to be well first. So I always tell people that you are your most important client. Mm. It all starts with you, right? So Psalms 139, search, where are you lacking? What is happening in you? So let's go to the Lord first. It's like the cross. We want to be vertical first. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit first. And then we want to extend out to other people. So as we fill up ourselves, then we're able to extend out. But don't come in empty. Don't come in broken, right? It's hard to help other people when you have not been filled first yourself. And then additionally, as you get ready to go out and help other people, because that's what you are designed to do, to be filled and go and help other people. So just continue to learn, but you don't have to be perfect to help other people. Don't ever misunderstand the two, because we can easily be filled and go smile at somebody and encourage them and bless them instantly. Doesn't matter. You don't have to have any perfect healing or anything. You can always do what you have. Just get your feeling first thing in the morning and then go out. So we're not looking for perfect people, but willing people that will go out and help bless other people.
This reminds me of we were taking a class with Dr. Ed Smith on transformational prayer ministry. And he was up on the platform and he was praying with a gal who had been tortured, literally tortured in Vietnam. And she was experiencing the trauma of that. And this whole auditorium of 1,200 people were just crying. And it was so horrible to listen to what she had gone through. Mm-hmm. And Jesus just showed up and healed her just in that moment, just complete healing.
Beautiful.
And it was all peaceful and calm. And when he was done talking with her, and then he looked out at all of us and he says, "So how many of you were really emotionally distraught as I was praying with her?" And you know, most of us raised our hands. Me, I was miserable. That was terrible. And he said, "But I wasn't." He said, "Because I have come to the point where I trust God so much that I know for a fact that this pain that she is going through in this moment is intended for her good." And it's like the difference between me going through it, not confident that God is there doing that, just scared that it's just horrible, and him being confident. It's like an open heart surgeon. He walks into the surgery room. He does not stand next to the patient and cry and sob that he's going to crack his chest open, pull it apart, work on the heart, put him back together, and he's going to be miserable for a while because he knows that in just a little bit, he'll be better off than when he came in. So when you're talking about getting yourself cleaned up before you work with other people, that surgeon isn't a perfect person. He doesn't have his whole life together in every single way. All he is he's ready to do surgery. That's and right. That's what you're talking about. Get your heart ready before you help someone else on their path. Be in a position of faith. Have your, you know, as many sins as you know confessed and the rest of them under the blood of Jesus before you even know about him. And then go in with confidence that God is the one doing the work, not you.
Amen. And you saying that just wanted me to reiterate another point is that, and this is something that I go through myself, because we all have flesh and we all have areas of really wanting to seek the Lord to empower us further. And I have had areas of abuse in my life, but they're all of our traumas are so vastly different. We can never, ever compare pain. So when I'm working with some women that have been horrifically abused, sometimes I'm very humbled going, okay, Lord, like my story is so minor compared to their story. But God reminds me, it's not me. It's him. And it's his power that heals her. So I want to reiterate to the audience that you do not have had to experience some of the horrific things in order to heal people. Because sometimes I've heard people say, well, because you went through that, you can now speak into that. But I want to counter that with, because you're filled with the Holy Spirit and God's power, you can speak into that, regardless of whether you've been through it or not. It doesn't matter. So God reminded me of that. I have a program called Born to Bloom, which is complete healing from sexual abuse. And, you know, I had to really go before the Lord a lot. And I'm like, Lord, I'm so like, how can I speak to some of these horrific things? Like they're really bad. And he's like, it's not you. It's me. Don't worry. I'm going to carry you. You're my vessel so that you can help heal.
Right. We bring to the table Jesus, who has experienced every pain as we have.
Yes.
That's all we need.
I love it, Marnie.
Yeah. And of course, there is that verse in the Bible that is comforting to us when we're going through a hardship that says, as you go through this, you'll be able to better comfort others who go through it. There's a difference between comfort and healing. Comfort means you come along and you say, wow, I can really kind of relate to what you're going through. I have felt a similar pain. For healing, you don't have to have that piece.
God brings it, yes.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So he uses every circumstance in our lives and he uses our willingness and availability.
Yeah, I think that the common denominator is pain. And we have all experienced
pain. Right.
We just don't compare pain. We go, I know what it feels like to be without hope. I know what that feels like to feel, you know, horrifically emotionally. And so that's one of the things. And we have, classes on emotional wellness and many things like that to really help people understand how they can really get their minds right.
So you guys want to be sure to go over to YKI Coaching. Does that stand for something?
It does. YKI stands for Your Kingdom Inherited. inheritance, because we believe that everybody has an inheritance from God. It also stands for you know it, because we really believe that God implants in you what you need to do. That's why we base it on Psalms 139. You ask God, he'll reveal it to it. You know the answers. I don't care what therapist you have. They haven't lived your 40, 50, 60 years of life. Only God knows, and he knows more than you. So ask God and he will reveal it.
Right. Beautiful. So when you guys go over to ykicoaching.com, LaVonne, what are they going to find there?
So we have many classes available to you. Be Transformed. We have an upcoming class on emotional wellness. I want you to know that if you message me today, if you go onto my site and you go to the contact form and you message me and say, hey, LaVonne, I heard there was this emotional wellness class. I'm going to put you in there for free. You don't even have to pay. Just go in there, go to the contact form and ask me about that class. I'm going to get you in there for free. So that you'll also find training for becoming a Christ-centered coach. We offer training and certification for that. You will find Complete Healing from Sexual Abuse, the course called Born to Bloom. You'll find all godly meditations, so that if you want to understand how to renew your mind better, you can just listen to one of our meditations. There's a free one on there for you on peace, so you can try it out, see if that's something you like. And I want you to know that everything is extremely affordable. And if there's ever a problem, you just message me. I'll make sure you get the help that you need, because everything that comes into our ministry furthers God's kingdom. And it works. We provide charity. We provide classes. We provide things. It is a ministry we want to equip and to continue to spread the love of Jesus.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for being here. Loved having you on today. Thank you for your life and ministry, and congrats again on your book.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
And thanks, you guys, for being here. Excited to have you with us. And again, you want to visit LaVonne over at ykicoaching.com. And of course, I'm Marnie, and welcome to you. I hope you have a wonderful rest of the day, and we'll see you next time.